This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. Broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And certainly this program, as I always say, is important for all people. Because the idea that every race, every heritage, every nationality, every country has a right to preserve its freedom, its heritage, its values. We believe here at DavidDuke.com this is a fundamental human right. And we also believe that we have the right to survive. And we believe that this forced multiculturalism and uncontrolled immigration is part of what we call globalism. And it is a real threat to the stability of every nation and a threat to the human rights of the people within those nations, because we believe that forced immigration policies, which are unpopular. I say forced because the governments of our respective countries are pushing these policies over their own populations, which in every nation resist and oppose the open border policies of the globalists. But these policies are creating hatreds, they're creating antagonisms, they're creating violence, and they're not bringing this world either peace, justice, love, or any of the things that the multiculturalists argue for. I wrote an article for my website entitled Where Cho Was Taught to Hate. And in this article, I talk about some of the underlying factors that led to this greatest single mass killing in American history. The media has been talking incessantly about the motivations of mass murderer Soing Hui Cho at Virginia Tech, but few in media have dared to speak about what drove this Korean student to the intense hatred that led to the gory deaths of 32 students and faculty. Did race play a part in this worst mass killing in American history? There's no question that at least part of the motivation of the Korean immigrant came from his alienation of living in a society where he felt he did not fit in. Multiculturalism, produced by massive immigration, creates incredible amounts of alienation in any society that suffers from it. Alienation increases in both the immigrants and in the indigenous populations as well. Endemic ethnic conflict is true in Rwanda, with its different ethnic tribes periodically committing genocide against each other, or in Palestine, with the introduction of great numbers of supremacist Jews into a traditionally Arab society, or in the streets of New York or London, or for that matter, in the dormitories, classrooms, and hallways of Virginia Tech. The more multicultural and multiracial a society becomes, the less the sense of belonging that exists in every group, which has in fact become a minority. Immigrants themselves generally come from a society where they were part of a fundamental cultural, religious, and ethnic majority. Then they come to nations where they become a minority of race and culture and are usually near the bottom of the social and economic structure. Ironically, a significant portion of immigrants themselves are escaping from ethnic, religious turmoil in their own nations of origin. For instance, the federal government has just increased immigration quotas for Iraqis to come to the United States. Iraqis are themselves coming to America because of ethnic and religious conflict. One must look not much further than the Kurdish Arab and the Sunni Shia conflicts, conflicts that have produced the impetus of immigration from Iraq in the first place. America somehow seeks to alleviate the nefarious effects of ethnic conflicts around the world by sowing the seeds of them here. Iraq is hardly the only nation where ethnic and religious conflict arises. It is the biggest source of conflict and hatred all over the world. You can see it in the recent ethnically driven riots in Paris and London. And the USA has far more than its share of race riots, anger, racial hatred, and racial violence. One may plaintively ask, as Rodney King did, quote, "Why can't we all just get along?" unquote. But the fact of life is that in general we simply don't get along because we don't recognize and we don't honor the differences among people, and not understanding these differences dooms us to conflict and hate. Recognition of the reality of deep ethnic differences affords us the opportunity to avoid the horrendous and inevitable societal problems produced by uncontrolled immigration and multiculturalism. We must begin to understand that every nation has a right to preserve their unique ethnic identity, their culture, their religious expressions, their art, and their traditions. Nations where the people share a common heritage, culture, and tradition, they find love and brotherhood far more attainable. Also, the failure to recognize human differences and sovereignty leads to universalist religions and intrusive ideologies such as globalism and interventionism that lessens human diversity and freedom. For such models suggest that the different human races have no unique qualities but are just pieces of plastic to be molded in quest of some political, economic, or religious vision. It is the basis for every totalitarian repression and a major justification for war. Although the multiculturalists preach incessantly about the enrichment and love that will emerge from a multiracial society, in reality, ethnic conflict has been the greatest source of violence, civil and international war, and hatred than any other single cause on earth. Multiracialism and multiculturalism, despite the media poster depictions of light and dark hands interlocked in friendship and love, they generate incredible amounts of alienation, frustration, hatred, and yes, violence. Nations composed of people that are similar to each other in culture, religion, shared history, and even in personality and genetic traits tend to be more stable, the more adjusted and comfortable, and the less alienated in a nation that better fits their unique character. Increasing numbers of alienated people are like explosives waiting for someone to light their fuse. Sowing Cho's fuse was lit by minority attitudes that legitimized hatred and even violence against America and ultimately the white people who built it. At Virginia Tech and every other university in the United States, there's an incessant mantra complaining of white privilege and white racism. Check out the blogs and the statements of major organizations on almost any American campus. Any individual fault, shortcoming, or even crime is laid at the doorstep of white people. As the fine writer Steve Saylor wrote in recounting the words of an anonymous commentator, quote, "I wonder how many times Cho heard the phrase white privilege while he was in college," unquote. In fact, Cho's presence at Virginia Tech is proof that there is no longer any white privilege in America. Cho was an English major at Virginia Tech, and one only has to read his papers to quickly realize that his talents in the English language were appallingly poor. Does anyone not believe that better qualified European-American students would have more competently filled his chair in the English classes that he took? In fact, Virginia Tech And all major universities in the United States have programs that blatantly discriminate against European Americans in admissions, graduate programs, and in the hiring of teachers and professors. Every white college graduate in English knows of the discrimination existing in graduate programs. And once the white student achieves a PhD, he faces an uphill battle in finding a professorship. The great majority of universities are seeking to improve their minority teacher ratio. This quest for increased minority faculty will often count for more than the better grades and better evaluations of white students, and the fact that many of them come from higher rated academic institutions. The discrimination against European Americans can even be found in the news coverage of the tragic murders at Virginia Tech. At the present time, I'm lecturing in Europe, but I can tune in on the American media by way of CNN International. When I heard about the killings, I tuned in and watched an hour wrap-up of the coverage that evening. Although the overwhelming majority of the slain students and faculty, 22 out of 32, were European Americans, a majority of the broadcast centered on an Israeli and an African American victim. The overwhelming majority of the coverage centered on a Jewish victim of the shooting, a Holocaust survivor who was touted as a hero for trying to block the door with other students to keep Cho out of his classroom. CNN showed extensive interviews with his family in Israel. The other victim covered extensively was the lone male African-American victim. And again, heartfelt interviews with his family and friends were aired. On the broadcast, no other victim's family rated any interviews. The Brescu and Clark were mentioned in over 4,000 stories in national and international media listed on Google News Search. In comparison, Michael Pohl, a European-American, former member of the VT football and lacrosse team, who even after he was mortally wounded, courageously fought to block the attacker from entering one of the classrooms, received only 540 mentions in a Google News search. One of Cho's teachers in his English department at VT is the celebrated Nikki Giovanni. Her name sounds Italian, but she's an African American. The following are words from the poetry of this black racist, radical feminist, Marxist poet at Virginia Tech. Not only is her poetry at the intellectual level of a 12-year-old, it is imbued with vicious racial hatred against white people and makes a call for black people to shed their role of, quote, nigger, unquote, and become real black men by murdering white people. Here's an excerpt from the poem called The True Import of Present Dialogue, Black versus Negro. Quote, can you kill a white man? Can a nigger kill? Can you shoot straight and fire for good measure? Can you splatter their brains in the street? Can you kill them, nigger? Now here's the entire poem in its original, error-filled English in its full-blown, hateful rhetoric. Can you kill? Can you kill? Can a nigger kill? Can a nigger kill a honky? Can a nigger kill the man? Can you kill, nigger? Huh? Nigger, can you kill? Do you know how to draw blood? Can you poison? Can you stab a Jew? Can you kill, huh, nigger? Can you kill? Can you run down a Protestant with your 68 Eldorado? That's all they're good for anyway. Can you kill? Can you piss on a blonde head? Can you cut it off? Can you kill? A nigger can die. We ain't got to prove we can die. We got to prove we can kill. They sent us to kill Japan and Africa. We policed Europe. Can you kill? Can you kill a white man? Can you kill the nigger in you? Can you make your nigger mind die? Can you kill your nigger mind and free your black hands to strangle? Can you kill? Can a nigger kill? Can you shoot straight and fire for good measure? Can you splatter their brains in the street? Can you kill them? Can you lure them to bed to kill them? We kill in Vietnam for them. We kill for UN and NATO and CETO and us and everywhere for all alphabet but black. Can we learn to kill white for black? Learn to kill niggers. Learn to be black men. Unquote. You know, I'm reluctant to read this kind of material on my radio show, but my God, white people have got to begin to realize what's going on out there. This is a professor at Virginia Tech. Now, after reading this racist call to hate and murder by Cho's esteemed teacher, Nikki Giovanni, can you guess who was given the honor of delivering the closing remarks at the memorial service on campus for the slain 32 students and faculty? It was, of course, the same person who has advocated, quote, shoot straight and splatter their brains in the street. You know, I can illustrate the double standard very easily by the media treatment of Professor Giovanni and me. Not only have I never advocated violence or hate against anyone, I've never advocated discrimination against truly better qualified black people in jobs or promotions or scholarships or college admissions or any other positions that they've earned by merit. Yet, because I consistently advocate equal rights for all, I'm branded as a racist and hater, and the media consistently calls my site, DavidDuke.com, a, quote, hate site. Even though I'm a former member of the House of Representatives in Louisiana, and my site offers well-reasoned, nonviolent, and thoughtful political and social commentary, it is filtered and blocked by many institutions. Nikki Giovanni, on the other hand, is effusively praised by this same media and given the honored closing remarks in the campus memorial service, although she literally has openly and brutally advocated exactly what the mass murderer, Soeung Hoi Cho, actually did. The national media has not breathed a word about where Cho learned to hate. He learned it from the very same teacher and the very same institution that now buries 32 members of its own. This has been David Duke. I appreciate very much your support and your efforts to get this message out to our people and to all people. Even those people who hate our heritage, the European American heritage in this country, certainly they have got to be able, and they've got to begin to see the hypocrisy of what's going on. How can this teacher be lauded? How can she give the closing remarks at a memorial for these students who were shot when she herself has advocated the same thing? We live in an insane world, and the fact that this can happen and this university would have this kind of policy shows exactly what I'm talking about when I say European Americans face a discrimination and face an anti-white discriminatory atmosphere across the length and breadth of the United States, and certainly, certainly throughout the so-called national media of the United States. At least now we have some internet which enables some opposing views to get out, not in the great numbers of NBC or CBS or ABC or the New York Times, but in enough numbers that if all of us work hard to spread the word and to reach our friends and family, we can reach them with powerful truth. If every white person in America heard the lines, the actual words of Nikki Giovanni at Virginia Tech, I guarantee that 90% of them would awake. They'd understand, perhaps for the first time in their lives, the hatred and the intentions of those who oppose European, American values, culture, heritage, and our very genetic treasure. Ladies and gentlemen, we must stand up and we must do everything that we have to do politically, socially, economically, culturally, to save our heritage and to preserve our freedom. Nothing more illustrates this than what happened at Virginia Tech, and nothing more cries for our action and work in rectifying the situation than the response and the effusive praise given to people such as Nikki Giovanni. Thanks so much. I'll see you next time.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast.